Good evening, and welcome to tonight's performance of the Royal Philharmonic Chainsaw Massacre with your hosts, Matt and Freya.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very, very good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm not bad. Everything's great.
You sound so sure.
I am. Yeah, no, it's all good.
Excellent. Well, I'm very excited about today's episode because we are talking about my favourite genre.
Czechoslovakian animation.
Exactly right.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, we are going to be talking about horror.
Ooh.
So you can expect great passion, more passion than a person should have for anything, really. It means a lot to me, you know, it is how I spend most of my time.
Horror.
Horror, yes. Saturday morning, horror. Tuesday evening, horror. Mm. In my mind, horror.
Welcome to Central Line.
True. So, before that, we've got a bit of movie news.
Yes, we do. There is a new trailer for The Matrix Resurrections.
Mm.
And I liked it.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, okay, I'm not a massive Matrix fan. I haven't seen it for donkey's years.
Uh-huh.
How long is donkey's years? Internet, find that out for me.
12 years.
12 years.
I don't know.
Anyway, donkey's years.
Mm-hmm.
So, it looks fantastic. I'm not a fan of The Matrix, but this looks kind of awesome. The special effects looks good. It was good to see Keanu looking like John Wick, essentially, but
yeah,
in a kind of sci-fi way. It had Carrie Ann Moss playing Trinity, and they didn't know each other. So clearly, in the real world, they didn't know each other. And it was like, oh, we met before. And it was like, cool. You had the first appearance of Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, who is essentially, by the looks of it, the new Morpheus, or young Morpheus? Who knows? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they played Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit over top, and that was like, that's a, you can see what they did there.
Uh-huh.
You know, Alice in Wonderland, you know.
Well, it does look interesting, and I am more intrigued than I thought I would be, because it seems that Neo and Trinity quite possibly are back in the Matrix.
Yes.
There was pill taking, red pill, blue pill.
Yeah.
And there was that horrible mouth flesh thing, which also happened in the first film, I believe.
Yes, when Thomas Anson is being interviewed by the agents. There was an agent!
There was, yes.
There was an agent! I don't know who plays the agent, but right on!
Mm-hmm.
I'm down for this agent person. But yeah, basically, it just looked all really good.
Yeah, yeah, I'm intrigued, and it definitely made me want to watch the original three.
Okay, we can do that.
Yes.
We have them.
Wow.
I'm not just boasting, I'm just saying facts. Matrix Resurrections will be released on December 22nd, and I, for one, will be there at the cinema going, I want to see The Matrix.
Well, something I'm quite excited about, or tentatively excited about, is the news that Salem's Lot and Firestarter will be getting a remake.
Yes, I had heard this. Now, I don't know if I'm going to tread all over your news, but isn't Zac Efron in Firestarter?
That wasn't in the news that I read.
Oh!
So that's news to me. Oh!
I know something.
You scooped me. The reason I said that I'm tentatively excited is that I'm a fairly big Stephen King fan. Obviously, these both being Stephen King
properties.
Yeah, Stephen King stories. And there's been a number of adaptations recently which have kind of fell short of the mark.
Oh, which ones?
So I would say that It Chapter 2.
Had moments, but yeah.
Well, when you think that It Chapter 1 was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
The second chapter...
Yeah, it was okay. I thought Eddie and Richard were... Richie.
Let's not be formal.
Yes, Eddie and Richie were good grown-up adults, but basically everybody else was like, meh.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben was lame.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
It could have been better, I think. And it's unusual to find that the child actors are better than the adult actors.
Yeah, they had a lot of chemistry going on there.
Really so, did.
Yeah,
you know, and
really, really good.
Very well cast.
What else? Because there was Dr. Sleep. Did you not like Dr. Sleep?
I did enjoy Dr. Sleep. I have read the book and I enjoyed that. It's a little bit tricky to get your head around, especially if you haven't read The Shining. If you've only seen the film, it's very, very different. If you haven't read the book, then Dr. Sleep seems like a completely different, unconnected story, in my opinion.
Ooh, yes.
It's still
yes.
Danny Torrance as an adult, but all this crazy stuff that's going on with the sort of soul vampires.
Yeah.
It seems very out there.
It's pretty awesome in that, though.
Yeah, but I thought it was a very creative adaptation to the screen, which worked very well.
But then also you have Pet Sematary.
This is another one I was going to mention. I like Pet Sematary, the original.
I do not like Pet Sematary, the original.
Well, you got something wrong with you. The original film hurt my heart. When the little boy dies,
okay,
that hurt my soul. You know, it's a horrible, horrible moment with the father's reaction. And I really enjoy the journey of the father, you know, kind of grieving and coming to the conclusion that he can use this burial ground to bring his son back. And then everything that unfolds after that, like the little kid is horrible.
Oh, God. Well, I was about to say, the thing that hurts me was my Achilles heel after watching a certain scene.
Yes, yes. It's a good film, in my opinion.
Okay, sure.
The remake is dog poo.
Well, let's face it. The reason why this film was made was because the rights for Pet Sematary were about to run out from... It wasn't Sony. I think it was Columbia. I may be wrong. Other companies are available. What I will say is that they basically rushed production. They created scary images and scary advertisement for it, which were not scary or relevant to the actual film. So it was just a pointless remake, I think.
The whole ad campaign was based on this image of the children wearing the animal masks.
Yeah.
And that's what, about 10 seconds in the film or something like that?
Yeah, it's literally, it's the opening and it holds no relevance whatsoever.
Yeah.
But then what else has there been?
So we had The Stand and Lizzie's Story. And then we had The Outsider a bit earlier than that, which we did get into, but it was too drawn out. It took too long for anything really to happen.
Mm.
And yeah, we lost faith in it.
Yeah, Jason Bateman should do horror though.
Absolutely.
He was pretty decent in that. And then also we had Castle Rock.
Yes, Castle Rock, which I watched both seasons of and you very quickly abandoned. Well, did you even attempt to watch it?
No, not really, because I wasn't massively invested in it, but I was interested in what they referenced. So for instance, when it was, I was about to say Lizzie Borden, it's not, what's her name?
Annie Wilkes,
thank you. Not Lizzie Borden, that's a whole different person and a real person. Annie Wilkes is such a fantastic character played by Kathy Bates in Misery.
Yeah.
That I was really interested to see Lizzie Chaplin, I think her name is, portray her in Castle Rock. And then I watched a couple of bits of it and I was like, yeah, that's about spot on.
Yeah, yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah, well done.
But the problem, I think, was that Castle Rock, which basically was a new story or a prequel to a few things based in the sort of Stephen King universe.
Mm, the Kingiverse.
Yes.
The Stephenverse. Stephen Kingiverse.
I like the Stephenverse.
The SKU.
Exactly.
I'll stop now.
The problem I had was that I think it featured too much of his more outlandish ideas of interdimensional stuff and hocus pocus.
Well, some people like that, but I'm not down with that.
I think it's got less kind of mass appeal.
I don't believe that there's a turtle in space somewhere.
No, of course, referencing to the weirder side of the It story.
Exactly.
So that's going to be coming soon. It's just started shooting both for Salem's Lot and Firestarter. Firestarter first and Salem's Lot this month, I believe.
Cool.
So okay. Let's see.
I look forward to that. Mm-hmm. Salem's Lot is a very long story, but right on.
Yes. Toby Hooper's version is painful.
But they do have some really good elbow coverings on the jackets.
Sure.
Next up, we have Midnight Mass trailer. Mm. It's the new film from Mike Flanagan, who did Hush, Doctor Sleep, as we've mentioned, House on Haunted Hill and Bly Manor. Also, a very good prequel to the film Ouija.
Yes.
Origins of Evil. That was
indeed.
I like that film. This appears to be not as straight up scary as some of his films. Actually, this TV series, it's going to be on Netflix on the 24th of September. I got a bit of a Stephen King vibe from it, oddly. Do you know the film Needful Things or the book Needful Things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a really good story. And this trailer kind of has that kind of feel about it. I'm not going to do spoilers because I haven't seen it. But what I will say is that by the looks of it, there's a new priest in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And he appears to make miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's kind of creepy-esque, shall we say?
Miracles, but with consequences.
Okay.
Like in Needful Things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I am down for that. And like I said, that's coming on 24th of September on Netflix.
I loved The Haunting of Hill House.
Brilliant. Bly Manor even had a couple of decent bits in it, but just not as good as...
Yeah. I think this looks great.
I too think it looks good. I'm very much looking forward to it. Oh, all episodes are going to be released on that day.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. God.
Thank you, Mike Flanagan.
Speaking of haunted buildings.
Okay.
Disney are working on a remake of the Haunted Mansion film.
Oh, God.
And
didn't Eddie Murphy ruin it already?
Yes, which is why they're remaking it, because the first one was a flop, even though I kind of like it.
Okay, right.
So we've had a few cast announcements. We've got Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, and newly announced Rosario Dawson.
I like all those people.
Could be good.
Sure, why not?
Obviously, they've had success with Jungle Cruise, which is set to have a sequel as well, possibly.
Ugh.
You
Why?
Haven't seen it.
I haven't. But I don't want to see Jack Whitehall in a film. In fact, I just don't want to see Jack Whitehall.
Ooh, what's he ever done to you?
He got in my way at a tube station.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Now, I knew that you wouldn't be very excited about this news, even though I am. So here's a little extra nugget for you. On October the 8th, Disney Plus will be releasing Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Oh, awesome. Okay, no, that sounds okay. That does sound pretty cool.
So that's going to be a one-off special, and I believe it's going to feature Gonzo spending the night in the Haunted Mansion.
I mean, that all screams to me of awesome.
If you search it, you can find the poster, which looks great. Looks like Kermit's a ghost.
Right, okay.
So yeah, that should be one to look forward to, even if you can't look forward to the movie.
Which reminds me, actually, a little bit of side nugget news. There's going to be a Lego Star Wars Halloween special.
Brilliant.
I'm not sure if that's released this year or next year, but I'm down for that sickness.
I think that Disney are planning a sort of Halloween lineup this year. They've also got an R.L. Stein adaptation coming up, which, Ooh. Of course, R.L. Stein is the author of the Goosebumps books.
And Fear Street.
And Fear Street, yes, exactly. Yeah. So that sounds like pretty good stuff.
Yeah. I look forward to all of them. I always look forward to Halloween television and streaming sites. It's going to be a blast.
And I think that Disney are kind of doing quite a lot of good stuff for it.
Well, available on Disney Plus is Mr. Boogity.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, God, that's horrible. Next up, we have Red Notice, which is a brand new Netflix £200 million spending film.
Wow.
Yeah. Quite a lot went into this. This stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because that's his official middle name, you know.
Of course.
Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot.
So we know what that money was spent on then.
Yes, Ryan Reynolds. No, this is a film by Rawson Marshall Thumber, who did Weird Miller's Central Intelligence and Dodgeball, which I'm like, I like all those films.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But I have a takeaway from watching the trailer. I should explain that it looks like an action-packed comedy romp where essentially there's two jewel thieves or cat burglars or thieves of some variety who do heists. I don't know, that sounds like a cool thing to do. These are Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot's characters. And then you have FBI agent Dwayne The Rock Johnson trying to capture them both. And by the looks of the trailer, he teams up with Ryan Reynolds to catch Gal Gadot. In my tiny little mind, and it is tiny, is the fact that these are all people who have appeared in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Ryan Reynolds was in it?
Ryan Reynolds was in Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, Dwayne Johnson wasn't invited back for Fast 9.
Right.
Okay. So by looks of it, they've just gone off and made their own little movie.
Nice.
Apparently, it's going to be a romp.
Now, I've seen the trailer.
Yep, you have.
I like all three of the leading cast. However, it definitely seems very, very heist by numbers, action film by numbers. Very predictable. The dialogue displayed in the trailer is very typical of the genre. It's not gonna be anything groundbreaking. However, that is not what you want. You don't want groundbreaking from this kind of film. You want switch your brain off, get the popcorn out. I'm here for it.
Okay, fair enough. What I will say, because, yeah, it, like you said, it's got paint-by-numbers written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
It skips to different countries by the looks of it. You have them in, like, a snowy location, like a Monaco location, you know, that sort of thing. All I will say is that the trailer also emphasises a little bit of sexual tension between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Gal Wonder Woman Gadot. And I'm sorry, but there is no chemistry there whatsoever.
I agree. It does seem like a strange pairing, but of course The Rock is going to be matched with the sexy but deadly lady.
Well, hold on. Has Dwayne The Rock Johnson, his full name, ever been voted the world's sexiest man? No, he has not.
You're joking.
Has Ryan Reynolds? Yes, he has. Which one do you find more attractive, Ryan Reynolds or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, his official middle name?
I don't know. No, I think they're both equally attractive in their own special way.
They're both good looking.
Yeah, I'm not here to choose. I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. But of course there's going to be more of a kind of flirtatious nature relationship with the criminal and the lawman.
Sure, okay, I get behind that.
And of course the lawman and the funny comic relief criminal are going to have like a love-hate relationship, lots of banter.
Sort of thing, yeah. Yeah.
So it's part of the formula, which makes it work.
So that's Red Notice, released on the 12th of November on Netflix.
Also coming to Netflix, we have The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
What? The original?
It is going to be a sequel to the original.
Okay, let me hear some more details about this.
Directed by David Blue Garcia, who has directed Tejano and Bloodfest.
I've heard of both of those films.
I have never heard of Tejano, and I have seen Bloodfest.
Oh, right, okay.
I liked it. But then I am no judge of a good horror film. And produced by Fede Alvarez, who produced Evil Dead and Don't Breathe.
Yes, no, I like him.
It's going to be a direct sequel to Tobe Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
But set years later, and we've been promised an old man Leatherface.
Okay, uh-huh. Right, okay. That's the one thing you've said that I'm down with. Okay, right on.
It promises to be much better than what we've seen recently from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre universe.
Okay.
Less ridiculous than the second film, less...
The second film is fun, though.
Well, yes, fun, but silly.
Yeah, granted.
And less meh than the remake.
Yeah, the remake, it was okay. Mm. It wasn't terrible, but... I know that there was another film, like, a few years ago, which was actually not so bad. I want to say it was called Texas Chainsaw 3D,
mm-hmm.
or maybe just Leatherface 3D. I can't remember. All the titles of Texas Chainsaw sequels just have no space in my brain.
No, exactly. And for good reason, because there hasn't been a really amazing remake or sequel. I feel it's going to take a different approach and really try and emulate the feeling of the first film.
Okay, well, I like the idea of old man Leatherface.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Definitely. And, you know, whether or not they make him wear the same shirt the whole time or have rotting meat on set, just to create that magic of the original.
Yeah, I hope he's got bad knees. And he can't run around that much, you know. That'd be true, old man, Leatherface, you know. And then like that, rah, 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 and then like that, I'll get you. Hold on. Oh, ibuprofen, I need you so much right now. Oh, my joints, it's just so, and this weather isn't helping either. Oh, my back and all. Do you know what? These chainsaws are really quite heavy. Can you just slow down a little bit?
He's just got a Zimmer frame.
So that's all the movie news. I hope you enjoyed and we'll do stuff with that information. I have a question for you, Freya. I came up with this question because you and me recently watched on Netflix The Wrong Turn remake. Matthew Modine plays a dad searching for his daughter who's gone missing. I don't want to spoil it, but I will say this. It's average. This film appears to be the Marmite of horror at the moment. Which led me to the question. What is wrong with horror?
How dare you?
How dare I?
What do you mean? What's wrong with horror? What's right with horror? Like, it's great.
Is it though? Is it? Come on.
No, it's not.
It's not great. And yes, I don't know if you know this, listeners, but Freya does watch a bunch of crap horror films.
I'll watch anything, me.
You horror slut.
I am, yeah.
So, I asked the internet a question.
Okay.
Saying, what are the tropes that you don't like about horror films? I got a plethora of answers from the internet.
Good old internet.
Yes, thank you, internet. So here are just a couple of the things that the internet doesn't like about horror films. One of the main things that kept coming up on my feed, by the way, this was on Facebook and Discord, was when the killer is down, they don't finish him off or
right.
her off. So therefore, they will drop their weapon that they just killed, in inverted commas, the killer, Mm-hmm. And they'll drop their weapon and start walking off into the sunset. And then suddenly there's a sledgehammer to the back of the head. And it's like, ah, ha, 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 the killer wasn't dead. This happens in Scream 2, Wolf Creek, and a bunch of others.
So it's addressed in Scream 2 as being one of the tropes. Because obviously Scream is a very self-aware series that directly discusses tropes in horror.
Okay. What about the fact that when somebody goes to dig up a body, it's a perfectly dug grave? So they will literally dig around the grave and have the actual casket out.
So they dig a rectangular hole.
Yes, exactly. And it's perfect. Do you know how long it takes to dig a hole?
I don't know.
I do, and it takes a while.
Why do you know?
Because I've dug a hole.
Okay. So yes, obviously, if you were planning to dig up a body for whatever reason, I don't ask questions, you would probably dig a coffin-sized hole, but then you need to get down into it and you need to be able to lift the lid off. You can't lift the lid off if you're standing on it.
No, okay, fair enough. That's fine, but it still doesn't answer why you're digging around it.
So you can stand in there and dramatically unveil the body.
No, don't call it. But also, what about all the women who run away from a killer, whether it be Jason or Michael, only to trip over on something that isn't there?
Have you not ever tripped over your own feet?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
No, I will not accept that. It's just building tension for tension's sake.
Right.
But then also the next one was jump scares.
Uh-huh.
Now, jump scares, as far as I'm concerned, not a new thing. I mean, even in films like The Exorcist, there's like jump scares.
Yes.
In Psycho, there's jump scares. What I will say is that they're cheaply done these days. So, for instance, you get... I mean, one of the things that I always noticed was like somebody will be in the bathroom and there'll be a cabinet with a mirror. And they'll look into it, and then they'll open it, and then there's a little bit of music that goes, when they close it, that goes, and there's nothing.
Now, what you're talking about is the fake-out jump scare.
Yeah, they suck.
In my research, my extensive research, by which I mean the films I've watched, horror started out with genuine jump scares.
Yeah.
And the convention was that, yes, they would close the cabinet door, and in the mirror there would be something, and then they'd turn around, and then there's nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Or something similar to that.
Yep.
So, obviously, horror filmmakers recognised that this was the expectation and they started faking out.
Okay.
And doing that building tension by setting that up and then there being nothing. And then maybe a couple of minutes later, there is something in an unexpected place. But unfortunately, now, that has become the convention that it's a fake-out jump scare.
Okay, so we have fake-out scares.
Yes.
But then also, do you feel that some more modern horror films actually rely on actual jump scares too much?
How would you prefer to be scared?
Okay, so science, bunny ears, you know, has said that the scariest film is apparently Sinister.
Right.
The Ethan Hawke film... I think it's a Ghost House or Blumhouse or whatever. It was a film that was released like 5-6 years ago. Have said that that's the scariest film of all time.
Okay.
It's not, by far.
Now, in my opinion, obviously I've seen Sinister a couple of times, I think. I once watched it on my phone at work. not my current job, the previous one. In case my boss is listening, they're not. Sinister was such a letdown.
Okay.
Because there are definitely some very, very scary things in that film, which are the videotapes, not videotapes, but film reels.
The home footage.
Yeah. Is it Patrick Wilson? No, it's not. It's Ethan... What's it?
Ethan Hawke.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Patrick Wilson's in everything.
Yeah, I know. I get that.
So Ethan Hawke knows that some murders have happened in the film that he's moved his family into, and he discovers this home footage, which is of basically really... horrible murders being committed in kind of creative ways. And I think the example that probably most people will be aware of, even if they haven't seen the film, is the lawnmower.
Okay, sure, right on.
Now, I think what's scary about those moments is that you know something bad's going to happen and it's building up to it.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's not a jump scare,
mm-hmm.
but it does have a jump scare because... you have this footage of someone going along with a lawnmower and you know something bad's going to happen because that's the nature of the footage he's seen before.
Sure. And also the video footage is at night. And yeah. Who mows a lawn at night?
Exactly.
It's crazy as hell.
And then suddenly there's a person.
Yeah.
So it does have a jump scare, but made even more impactful because of the build-up.
Sure. Okay.
And I think that's why it makes it so scary, because you physically are tense because you know something's coming. You don't know what, or you might think, maybe I know what.
Well, there's somebody pushing a lawnmower. I can kind of imagine it's a horror film. There might be something involving a person and his lawnmower.
Yes, yes. Somebody murdery is pushing a lawnmower at night and filming it.
Yeah. It's not going to be like they're doing the lawnmower and then they'll just stop and be like, oh, that's perfectly even. Look at that. Look at that.
Shot pans out to the nicely mown lawn.
Yes. This person knows garden maintenance. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got those lines nice and straight.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's obvious that it's going to be a bad thing because it's a horror film. But it's still not a scary film. But that's just my opinion.
I agree. I don't think it's a scary film. And that's why I found it so disappointing, was that the overall storyline was not as scary as these little bits of found footage within the film.
Okay.
They put everything scary into this found footage. Why was the rest of the film about some kind of demon guy?
Yeah, who just looks like came from WWF.
Exactly.
Or WWE.
But then, you know, nothing really like that happens in the world outside the found footage.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, let me ask you this next question, because there's a couple of questions, because I have questions about horror.
Okay.
What is the scariest film? It's kind of like the most straightforward, but also almost unanswerable question. Some people can ask, what is the best action film? Now, well, people will turn around and say either something like Indiana Jones, will say Predator, you know, that sort of thing. It's kind of obvious some of the best sci-fi, action, romantic films, When Harry Met Sally. Best animation can be like Beauty and the Beast or whatnot. But when it comes to horror, there's quite a few people who will turn around and say, well, this is the best horror. Some people will say, no, that's not. You know, it's Blair Witch Project. It's The Exorcist. It's Poltergeist. You know, it's The Shining. Shining seems to be appear on a lot of, like, scariest films all the time. And in my mind, it's actually not as scary as everyone makes out. But again, that's just my opinion. What is the scariest horror film, in your opinion?
In my opinion is the key here, because it is completely personal.
Mm.
What you find scary, yeah, and what affects you and what sticks in your mind. Because we all have different fears and phobias and different experiences that contribute to what you find scary.
Sure, some people might find Snakes on the Plane to be the scariest film because they're afraid of planes.
Exactly. And also, for example, if you look at someone like me who watches a lot of horror, my sensitivity isn't very high.
Ooh, that is such a valid point. Because horror fans will stick to horror films.
Yeah.
So you don't get many people who are purely all about, like, action films. Whereas horror fans are just so dedicated to the genre.
Yeah.
Obviously, horror films are, they're scary. So you get used to being scared. With romantic comedies, you're not going to get used to laughing at Meg Ryan falling in love with the wrong person or something like that. But with horror films, you do get desensitized as you go on. You can almost spot when a scare is coming. I kind of just hear the music and be like, right, something's about to happen. That's it. But that's going to be a common trope for a lot of people.
Some films will use the lack of non-diegetic sound or lack of music to avoid building up that tension, avoid warning you that there is a scare coming. Because sure, it's, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's one of those tropes that filmmakers have picked up on, that, you know, people have come to expect a scare at this point when this happens, so we're going to take that away.
So what you're saying is that subtlety is possibly a horror fan's best friend.
Absolutely. And almost is being overused now. It's become one of those features of a horror film that is becoming a trope. It's becoming commonplace. So I would predict that sometime soon there's going to be a new, maybe going back to the old school. I know that a lot of horror, particularly stuff that's coming out on Netflix, is revisiting maybe horror of the 80s and 90s and that kind of style of film.
Mm. Okay, sure. Well, Fear Street has done that quite
exactly,
recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Subtlety is key. I mean,
it's a difficult balance. I mean, too subtle and not subtle enough. You need to find that point on the subtlety scale just to get it right.
Okay.
Because some films, I feel, don't do enough.
Example?
Well, for me, something like It Follows.
Okay. Which you're not a fan of and I'm not a fan of. But a lot of people do like it.
Yes. I just found it a little bit pretentious, perhaps.
It was kind of hipster horror, in my opinion, but I'm sure that's kind of almost a slur on some people. Because within recent years, you've had, like, Ari Aster's films like Hereditary and Midsommar. You've had things like The Witch.
The Witch, yes.
Yeah. And then It Follows, which kind of, like, hipster horror films. And in my mind, I'm just not down with that. I think the stories have all been done before. There's nothing new about It Follows. I know that it's supposed to represent STDs, but also at the same time, it doesn't really. It does, but it doesn't really. I mean, it is just about somebody being cursed, and then the curse is passed on. But that's exactly what happens in Ring. You know, there's nothing new in that.
But then in Ring, there's at least an explanation of why this is happening. I think It Follows, for me, didn't have enough context.
Oh, yes, excellent point.
And I really hate, my number one problem with a horror film, if I have a problem with it, is going to be it not explaining itself.
Okay, sure. Okay, I get that.
I need a little bit of history, a little bit of colour, you know, something that tells me why whatever is happening is happening.
Okay, so your favourite horror film?
My favourite horror film, goddamn.
Or scariest film? Or scariest film? Either one of those questions, answer.
It's difficult for me to really put my finger on it. I don't really have a favourite subgenre in horror.
Mm-hmm.
I love a slasher.
I love a ghost film.
I love a ghost film.
Poltergeist. Any use of poltergeist in films. You have poltergeist. You have The Entity. These films are fantastic. Even Paranormal Activity. I know Ghost Dimension sucked, but, you know, there are actually some generally good scares in those films. That's what horror films are supposed to do.
Yeah, and on first viewing, Paranormal Activity scared me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was done very well, and that is nailing subtlety.
Yeah, it was. Also Paranormal Activity too.
Yeah.
And then The Conjuring, which some people are not fans of, but in all honesty, that was the first film in 5, 6, 7, maybe longer years that scared me in so long.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, legitimately, I was scared.
Seeing The Conjuring at the cinema, that was the first time in I don't know how long that I had to cover my eyes and watch through my fingers.
Sure.
Because of how well that built up tension.
Another film that scared me more recently was The Orphanage. But even then, that was released in, like, 2009, 2010.
Yes.
You know, it takes a lot for me to get scared of a film.
Yeah.
That's not me boasting. In fact, if anything, it's almost a hindrance. Because if I could be legitimately scared of something, like, every weekend when we watch a horror film,
mm-hmm.
awesome, brilliant. But a lot of times I'm just like, eh, seen that before in The Ring.
Well, it's absolutely true, and it's gotten to the point for me where I'm watching a horror film on the tablet and washing up.
And you're watching some pretty gruesome films.
Yeah, and, you know, even if for some reason you're not here for the night and I have to sleep alone, that's fine. I'll just relax with a nice horror. No when, problem.
Yeah, I get that. When you're away, I watch Marvel films.
Yes, you do.
But yeah, no, I get that. And this is kind of the ultimate question. So, yes, I asked you what's your favourite horror film, and it is a tough question. But my main question was, what is wrong with horror? And I can kind of answer that by saying there hasn't been anything that scary recently.
Sure. For me, I think that some of the problems with the genre are that more than any other genre, I think it's affected by trends and conventions. And when something does well, you have 10 other films that will try and emulate it.
Just 10?
10 other mainstream films.
Okay, yeah, sure. And like 20 asylum films.
Yes, exactly. So it's definitely affected by everyone clamouring to do the same thing as everyone else.
Just in recent memory, after the success of Blair Witch Project, you had a lot of found footage films. Then you had the success of something like Freddy vs. Jason, where we started getting things like Hatchet.
Yeah.
Then you had, I'd say, Paranormal Activity, which after Paranormal Activity, we had Grave Encounters and Paranormal Demons and whatever films were coming out that week. And then we started having the hipster horror films after the success of Get Out.
Yes. Now, rather than calling them hipster horror, maybe more cerebral.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Horror films.
Yes, very sorry to hipsters.
He says with his glasses.
They're for reading.
Sure they are. Live in East London, doing a podcast.
Hey, I also really enjoy avocado. So anyway, What's wrong with horror? Everything we just said.
Horror is wrong with horror. Horror generates its own issues because someone makes a great horror, everyone else wants to try and get in on the action.
Yeah.
And that is what creates these tropes. What makes people get fed up with the same old thing happening. It's because you like the first one, but then everyone else does it because, oh, it worked the first time. It worked for this guy. Let's get in on that and keep doing it until everyone's fed up. Someone comes along and does something different.
Mm. So essentially, we're just waiting for somebody to do something different.
Exactly.
Okay, right on.
Someone with an imagination to come along and enliven the genre.
Do you think that's Jordan Peele? Do you think that's James Wan? Do you think that's Mike Flanagan?
I think that all of the above are doing a great job.
Especially Mike Flanagan and Jordan Peele.
Yes, and very much sticking to their particular styles. And you take someone like Jordan Peele and he's doing things from a very different standpoint, which I think is very refreshing.
There's also the social injustice of like his films that happen.
Yeah.
Which is, I know Get Out is a fantastic film and won Oscars.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, I found Us was particularly more scary and a little bit more eye-opening. And it was just a genius idea.
Yeah.
And based around the Save the World that happened in the 80s.
Oh, the Hands Across America.
Yeah. Which is like, that's like a really good, completely left-wing thing to involve in a horror film.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
But he's doing scary films which have good plots and good characters, and added to that, they're beautifully shot.
Oh yes, oh, just fantastic. The colouring on those films is fantastic. It's so rich.
Now, I know that you're not a fan of Candyman.
I'm not.
But Jordan Peele's producing the remake?
Yes, he has.
So maybe it's going to be good.
Maybe it is.
I'm excited about that. But I think, you know, Jordan Peele, I think he's a brilliant director. And I'm sure that when it comes to horror, if he's putting his name to something, if he's putting his money into something, it's going to be good. I hope.
I like Jordan Peele. I really liked his Twilight Zone.
Oh,
I
yeah. I think
the guy's going places. He's won an Oscar. I'm sure he will be fine. No, but then what I will say is that I am also wondering if someone like James Wan, who has created the Conjuring universe.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if his time is almost up. James Wan has just done Malignant, yeah? And then there was Conjuring 3, The Devil Rides.
Devil Made Me Do It?
Sure. The Devil Plays the Banjo, I don't know. You know. Which these two films appear to have not have done critically very well.
Right.
So I am just a little bit wondering if that means that it's going to come in, James Wan, your time is up, sort of thing.
Sure. I think if you look at the Conjuring universe, which started out so well.
Yeah. And
with the first film.
Yeah. And some of the spin-offs, so like the Nun, not so much The Nun, but you have things like Annabelle. Annabelle, the first one is okay. I still really love the idea behind it.
Yeah.
I really love the fact that they involved like the Manson cult. You know, and then it's not Annabelle Comes Home, it's Annabelle Creation.
Yes.
That was a really strong and solid sequel. And then you have Annabelle Comes Home, eventually, which was pretty creepy, but also it was all based on people fucking up, essentially. Like, why would you go down into the basement of your friend's house, you know? Just don't go in the basement. If you're in a horror film, if you're in a horrific situation, don't go to the basement. Go to the front door.
Yes.
Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now.
So if you look at the Conjuring universe,
mm.
It started out incredibly well.
Yeah.
It's had some hits, it's had some misses, but it largely feels like the love has gone. And you think about that in comparison with the Saw franchise.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Or Paranormal Activity.
Mm.
The first films are good, and then it kind of just becomes a money-making machine.
Oh, definitely with Saw.
Because
definitely.
You know people are going to watch it.
Yeah, one released every year, yeah.
But are they good? No. Are you going to watch their next one? Yes. So I kind of feel like that's what's happening. Maybe not in an extreme way, but certainly has happened to some of the films that feel like they've just been cranked out to make a buck.
Well, yeah, I mean, the same thing happened with, I mean, name a horror franchise. Freddy, Jason, yeah. Chucky, even Hellraiser.
Yeah.
It's something that happens. They have something brilliant at the start, and then the next films are hits or misses. You know, you said it perfectly.
This is what I mean, you know, by horror being the problem with horror. Mm. Or perhaps the horror audience being the problem with horror, or how the filmmakers take the reactions of the audience.
Sure, okay.
Because once something proves itself successful, they do it to death. Appropriate, because we're talking about horror.
Mm. Excellent point, yes.
So you asked me, what is my favourite horror? And I've had some time to think about it, and I still don't really know. And if I had to swear by it in a court of law, I probably wouldn't.
Be a strange situation for a start.
Yes, that's true. I'm not sure what scenario would call for that. But anyway, now I'm not going to say that this is my favourite horror, but I'm going to give it as an example of one that I think is really brilliant.
Okay.
And that's Evil Dead.
Is that the original or the remake? Well, I know the answer to this.
That is the remake.
Ooh, ah, I did not know the answer to this. Okay, no. Right on, okay.
Now, I'm a big fan of all of the Evil Dead films.
Sure.
All of them. All of them. And TV series, it's all really good stuff.
Video games good as well.
If I had to pick a god to pray to, it would be Bruce Campbell.
If chins could bless.
Yes. If chins could save.
In chin we trust.
Evil Dead, the remake, has got the right amount of gore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The right amount of dread. You know, it's got great characters. I really like the scenario where they've gone to this cabin to help Maya, who's trying to come off drugs.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of an intervention situation, so it really works to set her up as being the one who starts to notice something isn't right, and they just think that it's her drug-addled, craving heroin mind.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
It works perfectly. And, God, there's just the physical horror that happens is so deliciously drawn out and slow and horrible.
Okay.
You know, there's the cutting the face off scene, which is really, really hard to watch.
The nail gun.
Using the electric knife to cut off your arm.
Yeah.
The machete across the knee. It's all delightfully horrible. And genuinely, I don't know how many times I have seen this film, but on every rewatch, it still makes me cringe. All of that.
Another honourable mention I will point out is Terrifier.
Terrifier's brilliant.
It goes back to the early 80s sort of horror slasher sort of films. And it's got a clown. It's right on. But then I must point out that you are saying that one of your favourites is a remake. And some people would moan that remakes are bad. I don't agree with that.
Now, I absolutely don't agree with that. And I think that horror really does suffer from too many remakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, think of something new. But to my thinking, Evil Dead isn't really truly a remake. It's more of a reimagining.
Ah, reimaginings. I like reimaginings. I mean, let's face it, even the two recent It films.
Yes.
They were almost reimaginings of the TV series, the special, shall we say, with Tim Curry as Pennywise.
Exactly. And I think it's especially good when an original adaptation hasn't really done justice to the source material. Having another crack at it, why not? But ultimately, I think it's good if a director is passionate about a film, but has a different idea for it, thinks, well, we could make this better now. We can, or not better, but we can do this differently now. I don't feel like it's blasphemy to say I enjoy a remake. I'm not saying that I think the remake is necessarily better than the original.
No, we're not saying that at all. I mean, we recently watched The Haunting and
the original 1963, 64?
Yeah, something like that. Which, not scary, but it was a good watch. It had a charm to it that the Liam Neeson version just didn't have whatsoever.
Of course, that film itself is an adaptation of the book by Shirley Jackson, mm-hmm. Haunting of Hill House, which you've read.
I have read. It's a good and charming read.
But what we're saying, if we disregard multiple remakes, adaptations, what have you, is that we'd have The Haunting. We wouldn't have The Haunting with Liam Neeson, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't mind it.
No, it is a bad thing. Terrible film.
I'm saying we wouldn't have it.
But that would be quite good then. But then we wouldn't have the Mike Flanagan.
We wouldn't have The Haunting of Hill House by Mike Flanagan. If no one ever remade anything, we would miss out on gems like The Haunting of Hill House, the TV series, and Evil Dead.
And also Friday the 13th.
Exactly.
Which I will say, I think Friday the 13th remake is a fun film.
If a filmmaker says to themselves, I love this, but I think I'd like to do something else with it. I'd love it to have some new life. And the other thing is that when someone remakes something, it calls attention to the original source material as well.
Sure. The Poltergeist remake, which wasn't fantastic, but still had a certain, I don't know what, you know.
Je ne sais quoi.
No, I don't know what.
Oh, right, yeah.
It still had something which was kind of cool and sweet about it. But there are films that I will never, ever, ever want to be remade.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Jaws. You just shouldn't touch it. It's sheer cinema perfection.
Some films, yes, should be left alone. But when there's love behind it, when there's adoration behind it, when it's done for the right reasons, not because you're losing the copyright for something.
Sure, yeah.
But if you're doing it because you're paying tribute to something, I think that is worthy and that makes for a good film.
Yes, I completely and utterly agree. I hope that this is taken into consideration when they're redoing The Exorcist, though it's technically not a remake of the original film, it's a continuation.
Right.
So, and that's from the guy who did the Halloween and Halloween Kills.
So which, a little bit like what they did for the TV series then?
Maybe a little bit, but I think it's more, it's basically, it's going to be like what they did with Halloween a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So it's a continuation of the story, which is good, because that Halloween was decent.
I think that's the thing. Reimaginings and continuations, you know, even if it's a what they're doing with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, even if there have been subsequent films, you know, they're, yes, doing it with Halloween as well. If you choose to ignore what's come in the time between the first and yours, fine. That's okay. Disregard it. It's your choice. And if you don't like it, don't watch it.
So essentially what you're saying is as long as there's love from the film, horror is good.
As long as there's love for the film.
Okay.
As long as it's being made for the right reasons. To scare the bejesus out of people.
And what else can we ask for?
Exactly right.
Yeah, and also maybe bring back the nudity in horror films. That's just my male gaze on it. They've lost the rack in horror films recently. Which is fine.
I'm sorry to tell you, but yes, the male gaze is no longer how we view our horror heroines.
No, that's fine. Not a worry. Not a problem.
But you do get to enjoy a lot of badass ladies in horror, which is always welcome.
Which are your next. Oh, it's a great film.
If you're looking for really badass final girls, Your Next is great. Very unexpected. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But the main character in that, she really kicks some ass.
And that is exactly, I mean, we can live in hope for every horror film to be scary, fear-inducing, cinematic gold.
With plenty of backstory and context, thank you, please. But I think if you're not a fan of a certain horror subgenre, if you're not a fan of remakes or reimaginings, you are very welcome to not watch them.
Well, let's face it, it's each their own.
Exactly, and I think, you know, we all need to have a bit of a moan from time to time.
It's what the internet was invented for.
But some people, like me, want to have the maximum horror content being created.
Okay, and that doesn't just mean gore. It means you want a rich and compelling story.
Or not. I'll take it. But, you know, don't rain on my parade. Just let them make what they want and they'll at least have an audience of one. I'll be there watching till the end of time.
So basically, keep up the good work, Shudder. You're doing all right.
You're doing mediocre. And that's all I ask for.
Well, on that very fantastic rant of yours, well done you.
Thanks.
Have you got any links for us?
I certainly do. You can find us on Twitter at Chainsaw Royal. We are on Instagram at RPCM_podcast. And you can email us on rpcmpodcast@outlook.com.
We are expanding our horizons a little bit, shall we say. We're available on Google Podcasts, we're available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so leave a review where possible. That'd be fantastic. Next week, we are going to do a couple of reviews, actually.
Oh.
I think we might pick a film of new and a film of old.
Ah.
So, until next week, it's high fives and good wishes all round.
Goodbye.
Toodles.